Hello and welcome to this episode of Bloodhound Picks, where we are doing another screener spotlight on the Simon Barrett film Seance. And disappointed in this one because I was unable to see it, which is a whole different story we could talk about after the fact. But Josh and Kyle were, and they have a lot to talk about on it. So before we begin, as always, I am one of your hosts, Craig.
I'm Kyle.
And Josh.
Hey, and Josh, take us in on giving the synopsis of Seance and then your opinion.
Okay.
Shed away.
Yeah, so Seance, I don't know, I should probably just read something for, like, the synopsis of the movie, but it's takes place at an all-girls school. I don't even know where it's at. Here, I'll just read this first thing that comes up, which is really fucking stupid, but you'll get the point. A new girl at the prestigious Edelwein Academy for Girls arrives at the school, and six friends invite her to join them in a late night ritual calling forth the spirit of a dead former student who reportedly haunts the halls. But before morning, one of the girls is dead, leaving the others wondering what they may have awakened. So it's basically, it basically starts out as a old school type haunting movie. And it's pretty effective. But as you would expect from Simon Barrett, one of the coolest dudes on the fucking planet, the rug gets completely pulled out from under you, and the movie kind of takes a completely different turn and, you know, reveals its true identity, which, I don't know, are we spoiling shit?
I think at this point, spoilers will happen.
Okay. Yeah, so Simon Barrett's one of my favorite filmmakers, writers on the face of the earth. So I was super excited to see this movie, although it's weird because I would not watch trailers. I tried to get off the internet or anything that had to do with what this movie was about. Obviously, I kind of knew, and I wasn't that enthralled with the idea, to be quite honest. But thankfully, I was an idiot for thinking that, because Seance was fucking great. And it was very homage-y. It calls back to Suspiria like a motherfucker. There's even a random ass like dance sequence. You know, like it was like, I think Simon likes Suspiria, or at least it was an influence. Obviously, it takes place at an all-girls school. Even like the sort of tone of it was almost like it was a period piece, although it wasn't. But it was just very like throwbacky. There's another film that was probably a big influence called Scream. You'll see what I'm talking about when you see the movie, which I thought was random as hell, not in a bad way, but, in a way that was more, surprising in a good way. Let's put it that way. It was one of those things where you think, you know, what's going on. All these sort of like, I guess, tropes are set in motion. It really kind of establishes itself as this like haunting movie. Like, yes, there's a fucking spirit that's malevolent, that's gonna kill people. That's totally what you're expecting. And like I said, then, you know, the rug just gets pulled out from under you, and it reveals what it truly is. which I was not expecting at all. And if you were expecting it, you're full of shit. So yeah, Simon pretty much hit it out of the park with Seance. I thought it was great.
Yes, I agree pretty much with everything Josh said. I was definitely looking forward to it, but then when I saw like the first trailer, I was just kind of like, yeah, it doesn't look like, I was like, I don't know, we'll see. I still think it'll be good. But I fucking loved it. Everything that Josh kind of already said, but like homaging all kinds of slashers and kind of giallos in the best way that Barrett does, which is it's not like everyone else does where it's super on the nose, where it's like, oh, I did the exact same thing as this movie. Wink at the camera. Like, you get the homages, but it doesn't detract from the film being its own thing. But I think the best part, and Josh kind of drew the parallel to Scream, and I feel the same way, and it's very different because it's not, maybe has meta, but it's just the fact that the movie obviously is referencing all these movies we love and seems like it's going to be one of them, but isn't, because it actually invests way more in the story than most of those do and goes, oh, this is what you thought it was. No, motherfucker, this is what it actually is. So things that were tropish and maybe just seemed like not that important come back later to actually have meaning. Yeah, I just thought it was fucking brilliant. I thought, like, for me, it's going to be top 10 of the year. I love the fucking score, too, which I didn't even like when it started, and it just grew on me the whole way. And I thought I thought everybody was great, but I've actually never seen Sookie Waterhouse in anything. So I had no, I was like, I don't know if she can act or what, but I thought she was fucking awesome.
That's weird, because if I was going to complain about one thing, it would be her.
I could see that. I mean, it worked for me, but she is a very, I don't know, I could just see people not loving it, too.
It was just like, I don't know, it seemed like she was, like, asleep the entire time. Or, you know what I mean? Or, like, mumbling shit, and it's just like, what? She, like, I don't know if it was, like, written that way, where it was like, you need to act like you're completely uninterested in everything.
I think her accent is unique, for one thing, so that's a weird thing, but I think, this will be spoiler alert, but, well, I'm not going to give it away, but we know what the twist is, and I think that might be a kind of a hard thing to act, because it doesn't get revealed till so much later, but, like, I think of watching it a second time, her behavior would make a little bit more sense, because we know why she's actually there, and you kind of know what her character actually is, but yeah, I could see it being like weird the first time around.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, you know, that when the main character that Kyle mentioned is Sookie Waterhouse arrives at this school, basically she arrives at this school after the very the opening sequence where the girl dies, which was basically just this elaborate prank. Which was not intended to end up with the girl dying, but Sookie Waterhouse basically takes her place at this all-girls school. And she lies about everything, and we realize, you know, like Kyle said, with 10 minutes left in the movie, what her motive really was in coming to this place. So perhaps it's one of those things where you watch it again knowing what her ulterior motive is, maybe it wouldn't be as noticeable. But yeah, if I was going to complain about one thing, that would be it. It was interesting too, like, speaking of homages, like, that character that Sookie Waterhouse plays, It's almost like Simon was homaging his own shit in Your Next, because that character was very Sharni Vincent-y from Your Next, which you don't really get, again, until, you know, 10 minutes left in the film, which is fine, but that was immediately what I thought of, is like, oh, Simon stuck Aaron from Your Next in this movie, which... it's his character. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Which didn't bother me, but...
no, not at all.
Seemed like the one thing I'm like, people might complain about or whatever, but I thought it worked.
Yeah, I mean, as we've mentioned too, like, you learn... basically, you learn that the Suki Waterhouse character has been lying about what she's doing for the whole film. And then you find out with 10 minutes left. So the character kind of takes on a completely different, I don't know, persona, basically. So when she does kind of turn into Aaron from Your Next, it's just like, okay, that works. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's the stuff we're talking about. It's like that you kind of, you like never get that in those movies. So it's a welcome twist of like, oh, okay. Oh. There's still new shit. I'm not just waiting for the next person to get killed.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of characters dying, too, I guess if I had to complain about something else, all of the death scenes are off camera, except for the last couple, which are like, you're right there. And I thought that was strange. You know, it was like almost like they... was it a budget constraint, or, you know, maybe it wasn't. Maybe Simon did that on purpose. Because, yeah, there's, I don't even remember, a handful of death scenes that all happen off camera. But then in the last 10 minutes, you get a couple that are just, you're right there. They're gnarly as fuck. Awesome, practical shit. And it's like, I kind of wish that would have happened more, but I don't know. It's not, you know, it's not that big of a complaint.
I thought the same thing. I mean, I don't mind either way, but I figure it was probably budget constraints, and also maybe it plays into the mystery more to just leave, you know, those first couple kills are like, you just, there's a quick flash and then we cut to the next thing.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not, you know, it by no means dampens the goodness of Seance. But yeah, it's already, like you said, Kyle, it's already definitely going to be in my top 10 of 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, now I'm just psyched to see what he's going to do next, because I do feel like,
yeah,
I do feel like what we're just talking about, that kind of restraint. I'm like, okay, now I want you to get like a little bit bigger budget and go a little bit crazier, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, and hopefully that works out for him.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, from what it sounds like, he's teaming back up with Wingard for a little bit or something. Sounds like they're turning as partners.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the face-off sequel.
Yeah. Well, and face-off sequel and or Thundercats and or,
oh yeah,
I Saw the Devil still, maybe, and then I feel like there was something else.
I don't think I Saw the Devil is ever gonna happen.
Yeah, he
probably not.
On Facebook, I don't know, on some social media site, I saw somebody comment to him about I Saw the Devil when he was giving news about something else. And he kind of, he didn't say it was done, but he definitely made some comments that were like, you know, they're not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
Or any, you know, near future.
I think, yeah, which, you know, I think we've talked about this before, but that's not an American movie, you know? Like, you can't really remake I Saw the Devil and, like, coming to your multiplex, I Saw the Devil, you know, like, that doesn't work.
I'd be interested. Like, I've heard him talk about it, and he says that it's, they're kind of just taking the premise and they're making their own thing, and it's like an hour shorter, and it's like just okay. a different thing. But yeah, I mean, who knows? It's still, that's the thing with the remakes, though. It's like, so if you do something totally different, then why are we even calling it I Saw the Devil?
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
We're looking at you, Wrong Turn Reboot.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That definitely did not need to be called Wrong Turn.
No. Yeah. All right. Well, Craig, you need to watch Seance.
Yeah, Craig.
I will.
Fuck, dude.
Find a way to watch Seance. And that was interesting hearing you guys talk about it. And
I think it's going to be on Shudder here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
Shudder exclusive.
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening. And as always, enjoy. If you have your own take on any of these movies, make sure to send us your comments. Or if you want to suggest any obscure or independent horror films, of course, send that as well.
Please, someone email us.
Now.
Bloodhound Picks Podcast is part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Produced by Josh Lee, Craig Drum, and Kyle Hintz. Music by Raymond Seed. Editing by Kyle Hintz.